Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to I'd Sooner Forget This, a podcast where guests share with you a part of themselves from their past. For example, when I was 19, I wrote a blog about fitness where I wrote, "I believe we should all watch what we eat, but still eat what we want within reason. If you're sweating mayo when you climb the stairs, then you may want to cut back on the McDonald's and pop to the gym." With us this week is Lewis Griffin, who is an actor, DJ, and one of my oldest school friends.
What? Hello.
Daryl, how's it going?
It's really good.
To set the scene, we, although went to school with each other, like, through pretty much the entire
from
school.
First school, pretty much, wasn't it? Yeah, all the way through to college? High school?
Went to college together.
Yeah. Sixth form.
But we haven't seen each other for, like,
maybe 2 or 3 years.
And that was quite brief.
It was Christmas when we were in the pub where me and you used to live in good old Caister-on-Sea. Basically all the rapscallions and that meet up at the same pub each Christmas Eve. So
yeah,
we normally see each other for a little bit each time every Christmas.
And the tradition in that pub is that someone gets glassed on Christmas Eve.
Last year it was Daryl. that's why he moved to Bristol.
Yeah. And why I don't go to that pub anymore. So what are we going to be looking at today?
So what I have for you and your listeners today is a terribly embarrassing folder of a couple of photos from around 2005, back in my MySpace sort of emo hardcore days. I had a little look a second ago. There is an emo claw in one of the photos. For those that are unaware of what an emo claw is, back in the hardcore metal scene days. The emo claw, it's kind of, how would you describe that, Daryl? It's just, you make a ridiculously weird looking claw out of your hand. Looks a little bit like the alien, the
face hugger, yeah.
The face hugger, that's it, yeah.
It looks like you're holding a coconut and you're checking, like, feeling the weight of
it. Sure, yeah, but this is an invisible coconut. That's a perfect way to describe it. It's holding an invisible coconut.
And checking how heavy it is.
Yeah, checking how heavy it is.
Right, let's look at the first photo.
Okay, so first we have, this is my old bedroom in my parents' house back in Caister. And so there's a coding, there's a artistry to the MySpace angle and the MySpace pose from back in the day. I'm sure, again, a lot of the listeners are aware of the classic MySpace pose, the sort of, what angle would that be? Maybe like a 78 degree angle looking down?
Yeah, I think the big part of it as well is that you cannot
actually see much of myself in the photo. No, so that's part of the artistry of the old photos, is to get as much in around you and kind of what you're wearing in the photo, more than just actually what Facebook nowadays is, where it's a face photo of your face. So we've got my bin in the background there, and just a collection of my old trainers.
I mean, it looks like an absolute mess. Like, was your bedroom quite messy?
It actually wasn't. To be fair, if there's one lime green shoe out of place, and if that wasn't there, it doesn't look that bad.
Like, I've recently looked back on my MySpace, and they've totally removed everything which kind of made MySpace MySpace.
Yeah, because you used to be able to sort of fully edit and design your own website pretty much for free.
Yeah, you'd like copy and paste HTML.
Exactly, yeah. So you could have your own backgrounds. And obviously back when we were kids, before the internet was what it is today, that was a pretty pretty radical move on MySpace's terms. Sorry, can I just mention, I've only just realised that I'm wearing a hoodie with my hood up, with no top on underneath the hoodie, with the hoodie slightly unzipped so you can see a slight bit of my prepubescent chest. Looks smoother than a waxed floor.
So can you remember taking this photo?
I can't specifically remember this exact moment, but I can remember this sort of part of my life, if that makes sense, and that sort of time period where I thought it was the cool thing to take these sort of photos, I guess, with my aviator glasses on inside my bedroom with the curtains shut and this light on above me. Yeah.
So when was this?
This would have been a similar time to the next photo. So around 2005. So I would have been, 14, 15, 16.
This is going into college?
Just before college. Yeah, just before college.
Which does explain the next photo.
Yeah, so the next photo we have is an action shot, I believe you could call it. It's me dancing... in a dance-off surrounded by a lot of white people from 2005, 30th of March 2005. So,
which is bizarre because we're recording on the 29th of March, as if we're honouring the memory of this photo.
When me and Daryl grew up, Caister-on-Sea, it wasn't rich in difference in cultures when we were there, so I was one of the darkest people in the area, I guess, at the time, and I'm very beige. This is a great example of growing up in a predominantly white school, that the only two mixed race or black guys in the school are in the middle of the dance floor dancing surrounded. The people that are around us aren't actually dancing or going along with it. It actually does look like an advert for sort of racism. Like, they're all just sort of watching us as if it's a TV show or something.
So can you remember
this. This was just before Joseph started the dance off at the prom. But I remember like a hazy image of Joseph doing his best Joseph dancing and me being like, yeah, this guy is making me want to dance. So I think that was the premise. And I kind of remember that, rocking the sick cornrows as well and the weirdly like chocolate brown shirt with beige cotton. What are they called? I don't know, sleeveless jumper. What are they called? Like, I can't even remember. That's the first and only time I've ever worn one of them.
I remember you being very cool at school.
But looking at this photo,
this helps explain why you would hang out with me still.
it was all an illusion, I think.
So with prom, I can't remember. Did you go with anyone?
I didn't. No, I went with DJ Jack... I think Ricky was in the limo as well. We went as a group of lads because none of us had girlfriends or any sort of thing like that. So yeah, we just thought it'd be fun to go together. I don't remember much from the prom, but I actually remember after the prom. So an old guy from school, he had an after party and there was going to be alcohol there. And because I was very uncool at this age, I'd never sort of drank or anything like that, so I was like, oh my god, drank probably a really small amount, ended up getting really drunk, went back to my now and then best mate Jack Wallace. We went back to his mum's house because she lived down the road from Ashley, and we got back at like maybe like 1 in the morning, which again back then seemed like for what now would be like 5-6 in the morning maybe. Was too scared to obviously try and knock on the door because Jack didn't have a key to get in, and we were too scared to like wake his mum up to let her know that we've come back drunk at this late. So we just slept in the garden for like 8 hours in the cold. And I got the worst deal out of it because Josh Pierce was also there. He found a towel. So he was sat on a deck chair with a towel over him. Jack, I think, was under the table. So he had kind of cover and stuff. And I'd been left with just like a slab of pavement, basically. So I kind of just curled up into a fetal position, drunk and not really knowing what was going on. And yeah, woke up at like, I think like 5 in the morning. His mum had come downstairs because she's a nurse. So she gets up early and had seen us in the garden and was like, get inside. And that was when I'd had my first job as well. So I was working I just washed dishes in a cafe along the seafront in Great Yarmouth. And I'd work the next day, and that was the first time I'd ever had to call in sick to work for being hungover, because my mum came and picked me up and I just was like, it was awful. I just couldn't do anything. So I just told her straight. I was like, I can't go into work because I drank alcohol yesterday and felt like the world's worst son. Because I had to miss that day of work at the cafe.
How did your mum react to you drinking?
She was actually quite cool about it. I think back in the day, my mum probably was one to go against the rules a lot. So I think she, again, I was very uncool at this time and not much of a sort of rebel in any way, whereas I think my mum was. So me drinking after a prom night, sort of, but still going back to my best mate's parents' house was still quite okay-ish. So I don't think I got punished or anything. She just like took me back home and was like, gave me that parental disapproving look.
Drinking, then falling asleep in your friend's garden is the most least rebellious way of being rebellious.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Which was all my vibe, really. Like, I still have never been in a fight or anything like that. So yeah, that was about as rebellious as I would get. As little as rebellious as I could be.
So I think we should move on to another photo.
So yeah, the next one. God, what is going on? Firstly, I can see I've got the classic, remember the classic emo studded belts?
Oh my God,
yeah.
Yes!
Yeah,
so did yours have stars on it?
Mine was just the square studs, the square silver studs on the leather black belt. So I was rocking that. I've got my Adidas hoodie on again. This time I've got a t-shirt underneath the hoodie though. And I'm just, it's another MySpace angle.
What I love is the shoes, how you've got your feet. That's very much of the time. Oh, it's amazing that everyone was just replicating the same photo.
Yeah.
Like
the
your feet
are, together. Yeah. It was fully straight legs. Yeah.
It's interesting. It was like very of the time, but there's always stuff like it. Like these days, there's been like duck face.
Sure. Yeah. Even the dab. At the moment, I think that's probably the latest one is either the video of it or someone getting an action shot of them dabbing and it instantly becoming Facebook profile picture worthy.
With like the whole emo like subculture.
Sure.
Were you actually like into it?
Oh, no, so I wasn't an emo, like one of those dudes that's in all black. As again, like I still always was sort of my own version of myself, but this was around that sort of time where a lot of music was listened to like that, and I never sort of was one, like you had, but yeah, like you had grunge kids and stuff, or the skater kids and stuff. I always kind of didn't stick to one circle or whatever. So even here, I mean this is that sort of phase, but I've got again like a chocolate brown hoodie with orange Adidas stripes and like a bright white flat peak cap and bright white shoes, as opposed to the all black sort of depressed thing.
So what music were you listening to?
At this moment it would have been lots of like hardcore and metal music. Off the top of my head, things like 50 Lions, an old Australian hardcore band, lots of two steps and moshing, and then hip-hop and stuff like that. I still listen to lots of that sort of music as well, but this was where I sort of grew my love for like rock and metal and stuff like that as well, I reckon.
So this next one kind of brings up a big part of that kind of...
Yeah, the weeb.
Yeah. So describe this photo.
Okay, so again, it's another bedroom shot. This time, it's the same MySpace angle. In the background, this time, we've got...
looks like dirty clothes.
Yeah, it's my chair, but I've got another outfit lined up there. Do you know, I remember this. This was my polo shirt phase. I've noticed throughout the years, I sometimes will go through phases of what, like, at the moment my phase is smaller t-shirts tucked into my trousers. It's just, don't know why or where it came from, but just one day I must have worn something like it and thought, actually, I quite like that look. And this at this moment, I remember, I can actually specifically remember saying to my mum, if you ever buy me t-shirts now, don't buy me t-shirts, because I don't wear t-shirts anymore, I only wear polo shirts. Yeah, so I got polo shirt on, but the main part of the photo is I'm halfway through weebing with that
coconut hand
that we discussed earlier. I've got cornrows in the picture and they're fresh as well, so I definitely, this was like to show off the new hair, the new cornrow hair. This definitely would have been the main reason for this photo.
With your ear, had you stretched it?
Yeah, I started stretching my ear like when I was still in high school, I think in our last year of high school, because I remember I got sent home one day because our old head, the deputy headmaster, didn't he like punch you or something once or throw something at you?
The deputy head did
oh,
once.
I remember this.
He threw, did he, didn't punch me.
No, it
did
wasn't
he, a, he threw a rugby ball
at you, but like with like full adult force to a 15-year-old kid.
Yeah,
it hit you in the stomach, didn't it?
Right, so, in the stomach. Yeah. I fell to the ground
and then just carried on. I think I don't even think he was like apologetic about it.
No, that was like as if it was some sort of training, like
this is the real world, Sonny.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why he's South American all of a sudden.
Like, this is how you go. I didn't want to learn how to play rugby.
Nah, yeah, it wasn't my sport either. I was too weedy and skinny. I'd just push, you'd push me over and I'd just fall to the ground. That's brilliant. Sorry.
No, that's it's good. It's good to be reminded of that.
Yeah, well, that time
horrendous.
Had a rugby ball wind you by your deputy head.
I also remember, I can't remember who I did it to, but I tried. We were playing rugby once.
Yeah.
During PE.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried tackling someone and instead just grabbed their...
Didn't you get dragged along by them as well for a bit? No, did
yeah,
I make
I did.
That bit up?
Yeah,
like you held on.
Yeah, nowhere near as far as what you were imagining.
Would expect, yeah, like 12 feet down.
Yeah. Right, we need to move back onto you very quickly.
Ear stretching. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He sent me home one day because it was at the point I just stretched it from like a 0.3 or whatever to like 1 millimeter. So I still had the actual stretching. So it's still healing at the time. So I refused to take it out because it would heal. So yeah. Now I've got my ear stretched here again. A big part of the culture of the metal hardcore scene back then when I would go to the rock shows. I got to 14 millimeters. It was big. I still have a thing here now.
Yeah, I can see it's a bit
stretched. I actually looked into this the other day online because I fear that it may stop me at some point from getting more TV or film, obviously, for close up if I got a gaping hole in my ear. It's not as bad as what it was, but with all of this blooming surgery stuff that's so popular now, there's so many good surgeons that just stitch it up for me, so we're cool guys, we're all good.
Well, I can see it being relatively simple.
I
think I remember at school everyone used to say that it was what anything past like 10 millimeters, that's when it would stop healing.
Yeah because it gets to a point obviously where you stretch the earlobe enough that it won't sort of shrink back.
Mm. At the time, I remember like the weebing and like the kind of shouting. I used to like bands like Trivium,
who
weren't a hardcore band, but they're heavy
still
metal.
Under that, yeah, heavy metal sort of.
I loved the music and hated the singing.
Yeah, it was weird. I don't, because I have an abundance of energy. I probably will do this on this episode, blabble quite a bit because I just get excited. I think I have like a small form of ADHD or undiagnosed, but not to the point where I'd need to be diagnosed. So for me, especially going to the metal and hardcore shows with the mosh pits and stuff, it was like a release of energy for me as well, like being able to run around and like cartwheel around in a big thing, like dodging punches and kicks and stuff and shouting and screaming as loud as I could. Like it was was a great energy. You remember what I was like, especially as a kid as well. Yeah. It was a lot worse than what I am now. I've managed to slightly hone in the energy that sort of would just burst through me.
So do you remember the first one of the first gig that you
that
went,
I went
to watch?
To?
Like, not first gig ever, but like first gig in this kind of style.
The first hardcore metal show, I can't remember, but I knew it was in Lowestoft. There was an old, which is in Suffolk, again, near where me and Daryl used to live, Norfolk. Suffolk was sort of half an hour away. And there was, for whatever reason, a big sort of metal hardcore scene there and a lot of promoters. So a lot of the gigs would be put on there. And that's where Adam, my other best mate, was from. So I'd stay around his a lot and go there. It was a place called Seabreeze, which was a terribly run down sort of gentleman's pub downstairs, and then they just rented the space upstairs for who would ever give them money quite cheaply. So yeah, these sort of young metal promoters would just put these gigs on there.
And do you remember enjoying it?
Oh yeah, I was like, again, growing up in that area, being one of the only sort of brown skinned people, but I would love to dance all genres of music. So when I heard about moshing in hardcore was a bit different to just like the push mosh that you got back in the 90s of like Nirvana-esque sort of mosh pits. Like there's the two-step.
What's the two-step?
So the two-step would be a dance move. Like there were dance moves, Daryl, to metal and hardcore. So there's the two-step, which I think it might have been derived from sort of punk and old ska. You know, the old two-step that you got in ska, the little 1-2.
Yeah.
It's pretty much that, but rather than sort of kick your feet out, you would do like a figure of eight motion. So your right leg would go anti-clockwise to your left, and then your left leg would go clockwise to your right, and you'd repeat that. And there were specific moments in there's two-step moments in metal and hardcore music, like a certain BPM beat, which is that's the moment everyone gets into two-step. And again, because I used to dance and stuff, I was quite like, not everyone could two-step, like, you know what I mean? You get the two-steppers come in, and then when that bit finishes, then the moshers would come back in swinging their arms around and stuff. So I could two-step quite well, and because I'm so lanky as well, I had a presence in the mosh pit. And also being brown, surrounded by white emo kids. I was definitely a presence at that Seabreeze place.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right, so we should move on to another photo.
Yeah,
should
we have a look at another one? I quite like, shall we try this one?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this one, I've got, so this is, apart from the dancing photo, this is the only non-selfie photo, actually. And again, I've picked just a great, like a great pose for the picture, rather than just your bog standing looking at the camera. So I'm crouched down. I think this might be at the Roman ruins.
Oh, yeah, I was trying to work out where
where me and Daryl lived back in Caister. There's this, a small patch of land where when the Romans were doing what the Romans do, there's an area which has been kept because there's bits of brickwork and stuff which still stands from that era, which was just a spot where we'd go and chill out sometimes at night. Remember, we filmed a couple of like short films there. So yeah, I'm here with, I don't know who, I'm crouched down looking that I must just be looking into the sky specifically for the photo shot, to like for the angle of the face, do you know what I mean? And then this is probably the worst one for me, because one of my pet peeves with, I'm very, very open when it comes to fashion and wear what you want, but one of my pet peeves is the flat peak cap slightly twisted to like a 30 degree angle to the left or right. And I have to say, I'm wearing a flat peak cap which looks too big for my head, slid to the side, and I got the the rubber wristbands as well.
Oh,
remember
my
that
God.
That phase as well, back when we were kids, like it started off as a charity thing, didn't it? Remember, you used to, again, you guys would know of this, the charity wristbands that you pay like 10-15p in your local little shop or whatever, and it goes to cancer research or something, so the colors represent whatever it meant. But you'd get those kids at school that would like come in with like their whole arm just full. It would look like a gauntlet glove of different colors of different charities and local whatever companies that have made these little rubbery wristbands.
I'd completely forgotten about those.
This one I think I got from my dad, actually. It's black and white, which I am, because he works for the prison service, and he used to work for like a company within the prison service called Respect, which is like eliminating racism in the workplace. So I was like, yeah, I'll represent that.
Oh, so the two came together.
Yeah. It was a black and white wristband, and I was like, yo, I am black and white, like, well, this could be perfect. And fighting racism? Jeez.
Well, that's the interesting thing with those wristbands, is that like they were a fashion accessory, but they were also meant to be a charity thing.
Sure, yeah.
But like it moved beyond charity and became just,
well, like
fashion.
I said, yeah, and you get those annoying kids that would be like, oh, I've got 50, look, what do they mean? I don't know, but, you know, look how many I've got. You've only got 3, you idiot.
All of these photos are from the period of time between school
and college. Yeah.
So at the time you worked, what, part-time or full-time in a cafe?
At this point, I think I was still just part-time in the cafe. Around this time, maybe first year of college, so maybe just after these photos, I started to work. I had my first retail job. I worked in River Island in the Great Yarmouth Town Centre. I started off in the women's wear bit, which was great because I was just surrounded by women all the time. And again, I was never sort of I would hang out with girls and stuff, but again, being the non-rebellious sort of just geeky young kid, like I would never try do anything with them, you know what I mean? Or maybe try kiss them or something, and that would be as crazy as I would go. So yeah, that was fun working in River Island, being surrounded by women all the time. We moved house around this sort of time, because we moved from Caister back to Great Yarmouth at this point, because I remember when we started sixth form college, I was really upset because all of you guys would go get the bus from the old Budgeons, the old like co-op shop. Mm. When you get the bus, that bus stop out there, and I'd have to get it on my own from Great Yarmouth, and I was like, oh, like starting off college like this was rubbish. That's all I can really, I knew we moved from Caister to Great Yarmouth at around that, must have been around that sort of time, because I specifically remember that thing of getting the bus on my own from Great Yarmouth and not getting it with all of you lot, like on the first day of college and stuff.
So what's this next photo?
So this penultimate photo, it's another prom photo, but this is pre-prom. This is, again, me in my bedroom. And this is actually quite a good angle, this one, because it's got my full outfit. I think this was the reasoning for the MySpace pose, because at this angle, you've got your whole outfit in the photo.
Right,
do you know what I mean?
Of course.
Because you'll take, obviously, now the selfie that we take now is normally waist up, whereas from this angle, again, as you guys will see, you can see what trainers I'm wearing, as in my trousers. You even got a bit of my hair in there as well, so you got the full outfit.
It's made me think, because with, say, that kind of culture was that the shoes were a big part of it.
Exactly, yeah.
Which you have got the classic Czech Vans.
Yeah, the pull-on ones as well. Not that this outfit is great, but I, again, always remember enjoying... I've never followed fashion, but I've always enjoyed to just wear what I've liked. And for my prom, I decided, rather than the sort of stereotypical prom outfit you'd go for, yeah, so I've got the chocolate chocolate checked slip-on Vans, chocolate. I think this is all from Top Man as well. It reminds me of that episode on the Mighty Boosh Top Shop. They're Vans shoes, Top Shop, chocolate brown trousers, a chocolate brown Top Shop shirt. And then, Jesus, like a stripy tie with chocolate, beige, cream, and mustard on it. And some aviator glasses and my hair cornrowed.
It's the most brown prom outfit that I've ever seen. Normally it's like, it's black and white.
Well, yeah. Or like a teal or something, maybe, with a white shirt. But I was adamant that I was wearing something that no one else would be wearing to the prom. Hence the cornrows as well, obviously. I mean, you guys could have cornrowed your hair, but wouldn't have looked nowhere near as grey on your guys' pale heads, unfortunately. So this was just before prom. This was my making sure everyone knew how sick I looked in my prom outfit. I like this one, actually. How young I look in it. It's mad, isn't it?
You don't imagine people looking as young as what they did.
Even because I hadn't seen you for a few years, I still have a very detailed image of your face and like your features. But yeah, the thing that you don't really clock is like the small things. Yeah, just like, it's really hard. Like, I can't explain it properly. Do you know what I mean? Because you look older, but you still look exactly how my image in my head of you is and has always been from a kid.
Yeah.
But obviously when you analyze the photos, things like having bags under your eyes, things like that, do you know what I mean? Yeah,
and having no facial hair.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I'm still only just about getting to the facial hair stage, but yeah, it's definitely a lot more than when I was that age. I don't think I hit puberty until I was like 18 and a half.
So we've got one more photo to look at.
And I think... yeah, this could be the best one.
Wow.
Look at that. I'm pouting. That's like a full-on Caitlyn Jenner pout. I really like this t-shirt, though. I remember this t-shirt. I remember I had a thing of having a t-shirt in every colour. This was obviously after the polo shirt phase.
So just explain what's on the t-shirt?
It's just a classic Game Boy. Again, not shying away from I still am and always have been a big geek.
And so you really intentionally brought a t-shirt in every single color you could think of.
I think so. Again, like, because I don't really shop like clothes shop. Even back then, it would be more like, oh, I've not got a red t-shirt and that's quite a nice red t-shirt, let's go for that one. Do you know what I mean? Rather than, I mean, I don't think they do. Some people, you know, where they only ever wear like a white t-shirt or something, you know what
right.
I mean? I'd like to, yeah, be able to explore the range of colours that t-shirts came in. I've spoken about this before because a lot of my, a lot of people I know and stuff, even just through acting or just growing up in London and stuff, like fashion people or people that work for fashion companies, I had a discussion or I read it or something about how the clothes we wear project our own personalities. And I think from looking at this, it definitely is true. I've always kind of been an out there person in my sort of personality and energy, even just as simple as sort of saying hello to people as I walk past them. And I think, I mean, some of these outfits definitely say hello to people. I remember once when I was, this is a few years later, when I was in my first year of university. So obviously after college, university, that's where you really explore who you are as a person. So God, I can't even remember what outfit I had on, probably ridiculously tight skinny jeans and something else is just as ridiculous. I was in town and a dad walked past me with his little son who must have been about like 10 or something. And as I walked past them, I just heard the little kid go, "Daddy, why is he dressed like that?" And I swear down, the dad just goes, "Because he's a prick." And I just smiled to myself. There was nothing else that I could really do. Yeah, because, yeah. People say it to me a lot now, actually. They're like, "Oh, like, you've got that on. Like, if I wore that, I'd look like a twat. But when you wear it, it looks all right." And I think that's kind of... I've done that throughout life. I've managed to get away with wearing some things which are really ridiculous. People ask me that a lot sometimes, like, "Oh, you must be well into your fashion and like brands." And I'm like, I think I stole these socks that I'm wearing now. I bought these shoes like as a Christmas present to myself. These trousers were hand-me-downs. Someone gave them to me. And this t-shirt was given to me as well by my best mate.
I think good.
I stole this hat as well.
When we say stealing,
Like off a friend, not out. Yeah, not. The socks. Yeah, no. I think these were my dad's socks, and I quite liked them. I like a good grey sock, and the hat I stole off of my best friend a few days ago in Bristol. Actually, I say steal. I said I'll borrow it, but whether I'll give it back is another question.
Indefinitely.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you happy that I made you dig up these photos?
I am, actually, yeah. I mean, they were on my laptop. I didn't have to do too much digging. I'm not one really to take lots of photos. I'm not that sort of guy. But it actually is quite nice to have these sort of photos around. More, obviously, it's been 10, 15 years. So that's when it's obviously nice to look back on these things. And it's quite nice and humbling as well to remind myself of how much of a geek and uncool I am. It's nice. And also nice to see that I've developed from that to who I am now, who I'm quite proud of who I am, Daryl, as a person. So not that I was a bad person then, but I was a bad photo taker then.
You feel like
my photo taking skills definitely gotten better for sure.
I think what we've got to do, so I'm saying not always take a selfie at sure. the end of us both together, but I sure. think what we need to also do is one of these photos together.
I reckon if I, because of my lanky arms, I should be able to get us both in one MySpace posed photo. Maybe with an emo claw in it as well.
We need an emo claw, and we also need to have our shoes in it.
Yes, and I've got some sick shoes on today, guys. Some pink Adidas hamburgers. You guys are going to love it.
It's been really fun having you on.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. Apologies to any of the listeners if I've rambled too much about bullshit.
This podcast is all about
all
rambling.
About the bullshit. No, I'm joking.
Amazing. If people wanted to find you, how
on the old social networking hype?
Absolutely. Obviously, there's your MySpace where some of these.
Of course. Twitter at because I DJ as well, so I just have it as my DJ name. It's at DJ _BB. Loving those underscores, isn't
it? Double underscore.
Yeah, well, because a lot of websites you can't put a full stop in between it. Mm. Someone already had at DJ BB, so no one's thinking of putting two underscores in between the DJ and the BB. Daryl, shut up.
Amazing. Yeah. It's been so much fun.
Absolute pleasure, man. Thank you for having me.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, then please do give us a review and make sure that you subscribe to the podcast.
It
makes a huge difference to how many people find out about it. You can also follow at I'd Sooner Forget and find the Facebook page I'd Sooner Forget This. You've got to look at it this week so that you can see all the amazing photos
do
of
it
Lewis.
Now. Just can I do a little selfless plug?
Of course,
potentially.
You can.
So yeah, so I'm just about to start rehearsals for a theatre show that I'm going to be in over the summer. We start on the 30th of May. It's A Tale of Two Cities. It's a new adaptation of an old Charles Dickens story set during the French Revolution in between going to France and England. Previews start from around the start of July, so keep an eye out. It's at the Regent's Park Open Air Theatre, so if you go onto their website you can check it out and come watch me be a French revolutionist.
Thank you for listening, and come back next week for another fantastic guest. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.